I've said many times before, but we have to remember this place isn't our home. We're just passing by, passing through. And anything that you can see today, anything that you possess, it's here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, it's not going to last. I know I joke around a lot when I say that I hide stuff from our house. That way when I come back after the rapture, I still got I got Oreo cookies to eat, you know. But it's being focused on the Lord today. And His word is given to us to encourage us. Amen? I mean, I believe we come in here, we gather here this morning to encourage one another, but to hear His word, to apply it to our life. Amen. You know? God's word is given to us to encourage us. It's given to us to correct us. You know, we all need correction. It's given to us also, and we said earlier when we first got born again, how on fire for the Lord we was and how giddy we was. And that word is still there to do the same thing for us. You know, it's 22 years later and I still get excited about the word of God. You know, and how excited I always was before I retired from the sheriff's office to remember it was Wednesday, it's Bible study night. Man, I get to go to church tonight. You know, because I just love the fellowship and hearing the word of God. And I think, you know, a relationship with the Lord can be the same as maybe a marriage or a relationship with one another, friends, that sometimes we can get kind of stale and we have to go back and remember what is going on and rejuvenate ourselves, you know? Amen? Yeah. There's a song we used to listen to when I first got born again. It was sung by Ray Bolt. It's called Let's Begin Again. Have you ever heard that song? I will not sing it to you. But it's an awesome thing. He just said, hey, let's start over. And I think that's a good song for every morning, in a way. You know, we all done some great things this past week. We probably all done some things we wish we hadn't have done. But this is a new day. You know, God doesn't keep records. You know, it's a new day and we go forward. And that's what, that's how we keep that joy in our hearts. I got it. Anybody else got a lot of static electricity at home? I mean, just me then. Okay, I must be on fire then. But I can't touch anything hardly anymore at home if I don't get my fingers lit up a little bit. And this is what happens. What's that? Shuffling my feet? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm picking them up, but maybe I am dragging them across the carpet a little bit. I'm not sure, but this is what happens when you're back here and you forget your tablet and God's speaking to you. So, but we just remember that God's word is given to us to remind us and encourage us. So let's pray. Father, we turn toward your word this morning. We just welcome the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Father, we take these words off of these pages and Father, bring them into our spirit that we may be strengthened, that you may be glorified, that we have a greater understanding and more just to encourage one another. Father, when we leave here today and we step back out into the world, we can step out there more strengthened and more encouraged and have more reassurance as we go out there with you. It's to you be the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to turn to the book of Genesis today, we have three or four familiar chapters today we're looking at. But God's kind of brought them together here for the purpose. And again, His word is always given to us to encourage us. Satan's out there to discourage you. Amen. He's always there out there. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. He's out there to neutralize you. He wants to bring you down. And if we hear more of His voice in the Word of God, then we can kind of fall on the wayside. We can get down to what we call the molly grubs. Now, I'm not sure what a molly grub is, but I just remember my mom saying it and my grandma saying it. You know, so. Anybody know what a molly grub is? Is it something you eat or something? Okay, I'm just curious. I get the point in my life when I say something, well, where did that come from? You know, remember the old saying, you know, well, don't throw the baby out with the washwater. You know where I come from? From my grandmother. Yes, amen. And what it was, the baby was the lowest one on the chain of bathing. The dad was first, then the mom, then down to the sisters. So the time that you put the baby in the bathtub, you couldn't see it, so it's black. Okay, so dark the water was. So when you take the water out to get rid of it, I don't know, we used to use tubs to wash off. Yeah, okay, so when you throw the water outside, make sure you got the baby out of there first. That's why it said, don't throw the baby out with the wash water. But now you know something. Yay, all right. Okay. So we're going to look at the Word of God in Genesis this morning, chapter 1. I know you're very familiar with this. Most of us are. But it talks about the creation, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now this will continue throughout creation. And when you read this here, you'll notice, I'm going to paraphrase it because I got several things I'm going to look at today. But who's glad we have sunshine? And who's glad we got darkness? That we can sleep. Amen. You know? God created that from the very beginning. Light and darkness. And because the moon and the sun that goes on through. He put the stars into heaven. Then he went out and he planted in this garden he's created. He put every seed that we needed, fruit, vegetables, asparagus, all that. Think of that. He put it there for what? For food. Then God created the animals. Man, sheep and goats and cows, and I don't know all they had back then, you know, when he created it. So you got all the food out there. He's got the animals. Then the Bible says that he created mankind in his image. That's us. Think of that. This beautiful garden that he carved out of this ugly world, planted it, beautiful. He's got the food. He's got the animals in there. He said, man, we're going to make a caretaker and put him in charge of all this. So God made Adam. Adam means man, Eve. Both together and put them in the garden. And I wondered throughout the time there as they were in the garden and they were to attend the garden, so there must have been some type of maybe, you got to pull weeds maybe? Feed the animals? You know, something had to be tended. It wasn't just stay there all the time, you know. You had to train the, trim the trees maybe, the fruit. I would imagine animals would, if they eat, something going to pass through, right? So he's cleaning the manure up and stuff. Mm. I wonder if they got tired of that. I just wondered. Because as time goes on, we know that here comes Satan in the serpent's body, tempts Adam and Eve because God gave him a warning up front. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The minute you do, you'll die. Eat from the tree of life. Again, remember, we say what? Evil is already in the world. Why was evil already here? Because God cast Satan down from heaven long before and fell to the earth. And God said, I'm going to make a new thing here. So he made this garden. I believe as we put mankind in this garden, if we would be obedient to him, it would have grew and grew. And more of the ugly world that was out there, that was when Satan was falling from heaven, it take over the whole world. It would be a beautiful paradise. So hey, don't bother them. Just eat from the tree of life. Follow me, is what he's saying. Wow. So I don't know if Adam and Eve ever got to the point where they got complacent and they got tired of trimming the branches, they got tired of cleaning up the poo and stuff. I don't know. If that helped lead them to the point where they started getting weak. Weak in their spiritual grasp. Did they quit sharing the Word of God? You know, when God said they don't do that, did they sit around at night and say, remember, that tree looks pretty good over there. Or otherwise, something different looks pretty good. But God said, don't do it. Because the minute you participate in that, you're going to die. Somewhere along the line, they got wore down. They didn't keep their defense mechanism up. And next thing you know, boom, they fall into sin, and they are removed from the garden. Wow. I wondered, anybody ever see a baby lamb before? You ever see them at the fair or whatever? How cute they are? I mean, oh, meh. The Maoris don't like them because they're cattle, and lambs will eat all the grass off, and they have wars once in a while, but they're not, just kidding you. Back in the days, you always had fights between the shepherds and the cattlemen because the sheep always ate all the food and stuff. But can you imagine going out there in the morning? You're Adam or you're Eve, one of the two. And you go out there and you get to see the little lambs and you get to feed them. Oh, there's a new one. And you pet them. Oh, man. See them bouncing through the fields, you know? Think of that. The whole thing is yours. God gave you dominion over everything. Wow, how awesome it is. I don't know whether they got big-headed. I mean, look what we own. Hey, Eve, look what we got here. Man, see the sheep? They're ours. I don't know. But can you imagine? Can you imagine them when they fell into sin? And the next thing they see, this lamb that they tended, that they took care of. When they see their lamb's throat sliced and the skin removed, and it was used to cover up their nakedness, how did they feel? I mean, I think it just hit home right then, like, wow, I had no idea. God tried to warn us. Look, we just cost this lamb, this little lamb, his life because of our sin. I bet that probably had hurt him. Oh, if we only thought before. Well, God removed him. Then on down the road, you're going to find out where mankind got worse and worse. Oh, my. And so we get to the point where God said, man, I wish I had made man. So here comes a guy named Noah. And he comes along. And God tells Noah, hey, listen, I'm gonna flood the earth. I'm going to remove mankind. But you guys, you have favor. So, God has Noah build an ark. And he puts all these animals on the ark, right? And all this stuff goes on the ark. And the flood comes. 40 days and 40 nights, it would rain. Oh, my. And all these animals on the ark. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the noise at times? Can you imagine the aroma? I mean, yes. We're talking about 365 days, almost 340 days they would be on the ark. I just wonder. Did they ever complain about the odor? When they go down there, I don't know how much an elephant poos, but can you imagine going down there every day trying to shove it over here, you know? Oh, man, what do we got these stupid animals for? Oh, man, I tell you what. They're eating the best. They're eating all the grapes that we brought. Okay? How often would they complain? Man, why would God put us on this ark? And now look what we got. The odor's so bad. How soon would they forget about what's going on the outside? How soon would they forget about what God saved them from? Destruction of the world. People are dying out there. Their lives are over with. God found favor. Noah found favor. God built the ark, put them on the ark, put these animals on there. Yeah, they're going to poo. You got to feed them. You got to take care of them. But how soon would they have been on there before they would start complaining about it and not remembering who's screaming on the outside? I don't know. The ark landed. And we see in Genesis chapter 9, the ark was landed. Chapter 9, verse 1. And what I love about this, it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons. Look at that. Even though mankind has turned their back on God, even though mankind did their own thing, God didn't lose his love for mankind. No, he didn't. And so when the ark was landed, he said, God bless Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. And I give all to you, as I gave the green plant. Now, what do you think? Going back on the ark. All the complaining going on. It takes. All the complaining. Did God already have his eye on his children? Was God already thinking in advance? I mean, shouldn't Noah have known if God's going to rescue him, that he's going to take care of him? That there's a reason and purpose for everything he does? And look what we have now. All these animals that might have been complaining about, I got to get up and do this. Now you clean it today. You wash them today. All that stuff that might have been complaining about, man, there's food for them. Now they're going to live. They're not going to die. Then how about all the poo they had to shovel? All that stinky stuff. We think about that. They got manure to plant their vineyards with. They got manure now for the vegetables. God already saw in the future what they're going to need. And folks, he hasn't changed any. He sees in your future and my future, he sees the things that we need. And you might be standing in some poo today. You might think, man, this is terrible. But I'm telling you what, if you're following the Lord and you're standing in it, he has a purpose for that. You just turn your eyes to him. Okay, God, get me through another day. Get me through another day. You know, how bad Noah would have felt maybe. If they ever looked back and, oh man, why did I complain so much? God already knew what I needed. I should have trusted him. I mean, Noah built, it took 100, maybe 120 years to build the ark. You know? So as our lives today, I mean, we have this ark that we're on. It's called the cross of Jesus. Amen? It was sent to rescue us. Now, in this word, there might be things that you don't quite understand. There may be things that you want to grumble about. Okay? Well, I'm just going to tell you up front, grumbling and complaining about it isn't going to do you any good. Understand that? It's going to do you harm is what's going to happen. You know, if you don't understand, I mean, can you imagine if Noah got to the point, and I'm not saying he ever did complain, understand that, okay? But can you imagine he got so tired of his wife nagging about the odor that he started throwing the animals out of the ark? Can you imagine an ark landed and God says, okay, no, take all the animals and eat them now. You got barbecue time. God, I got a problem. Because the vegetation was all watered down. I mean, there was nothing out there. You had to start over again. Wow. Sometimes it's not popular, maybe, to stand on this word and say, wait. Hey, honey. Carol will be, she'll be my wife, and I'll be Noah for a second. And she's complaining. She wants the odor out of boat and stuff, you know. I said, no, hang in there. No. I want this place smelling better. Hey, listen. God brought us this far. He put the animals on the ark. We're in charge of the poo. We're going to do what God says, you know. Come on, open this window up. Boom. There's one window in the ark. You want to be out there? No. Okay. I think we all got to be reminded of him time to time, don't we? Don't we got to be reminded of what he has saved us from? Amen. Sometimes we look back at that window. Wow. The destruction out there. There's death out there. Hell is real. And so when we look at the Word of God and we think, well, I know what it says, but the butt gets us in trouble. Amen. You're right. You're right. And how easy is it to allow this to be watered down in our life today? Everyone's got an opinion, don't they? I mean, we all got an opinion. But I'm telling you, the Word of God has never changed. And when someone starts to water it down, boom, we got to know that Word in order to stay away from it. Because this is life. God's Word is given to us the life that we would live. And not just exist, but to have life and have it more abundantly, he tells us. But he tells the same thing in John 10, that watch out. Because the evil one's out there. And he's still here. And his purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Hasn't changed a bit. Now, he'll dress himself up differently. He'll take this death wish he has for all men and women, spiritual death, and he'll put little fancy things on it. He'll even get into your politics and change the laws. He'll get into your head and have you water down what the Word of God says. I mean, I'm amazed at how much watering I see taking place. I'm not speaking right in here, but in general, people just feel good in their sins. They water down the Word of God. And we've all done it, I would say, time and time again. But we realize today that God ain't giving up on us. He ain't giving up on you. I don't know where you're at right now with the Lord. Maybe somebody there, you're fighting for God. I just showed up today because I love the pastor's hot dogs. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is you're here, right? Amen. You're here. And this Word is still here to change our lives, to strengthen us. And we see from Genesis, He had everything prepared for you and I. He wanted a family. All we had to do is do it. Follow Him. Pay no attention to the evil. Pay no attention. Don't eat from the evilness. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's still the same thing today. Yeah, we see on the ark where God put Noah on the ark to rescue mankind. He already had provision provided for his family. Even though at that time they might not have recognized it. But man, when you get off the boat, wow. Now I understand. It was worth it. I'm glad I followed the Word of God. I'm glad I didn't throw the animals overboard. Why? Because our food. So when we take the Word of God, we throw it out the window. When we take the Word of God and say, I know, but man, we're throwing out spiritual food that's going to let you survive in tough times. And we on that boat going back and forth, and everybody outside of you screaming. I mean, the flood and stuff. Man, things hasn't changed. We still need the Word of God and to follow it. Even though it's very unpopular. Noah built the ark 120 years. We've talked before, how many people made fun of Noah? And I know a poor fellow in town, I really like the guy, his name is Marshall Jacobs. He had a desire to build a canal boat. Built over here by Isley's old restaurant. Anybody remember that back there? On Chestnut Street. And they called him what? Mad Marshall Jacobs. But you know what happened when he had it finished? I don't know all the politics behind it, but it ended up going over the canal. It ended up being one of the attractions here in Roscoe. You know, he knew what he wanted to do. He started doing it. Yeah, I mean, he might have got married on top of a pool 300 feet tall. That might be a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I don't think he's mad. I think he's just different. Amen? People didn't recognize what he was doing, but look at the commerce he brought into Coshocton. Everybody ever rode on the canal boat here in town? Yes, amen. So now you got Noah out there building his ark, and look at the stuff he had to go through. What's that? Did you ride on the original one, buddy? Is that what you said? I'm just kidding. Oh, Carol wanted to know if he's on the canal boat or the ark. Can you believe she said that? Oh, Carol. Yeah, don't worry about it. Hey, don't worry about it. Bob just said you weren't on. I love you, brother. But again, he's out there. He knows the Word of God. He heard God speak to him. Build this ark. Rescue your family. Destruction's coming. Oh, my. And so he knew he had enough faith in God that he didn't care what other people said. And folks, I'm telling you what. Because he put more faith in God than people, you and I benefit from that today. We never exist. Think of that. All the hard stuff he went through. Probably his children. I mean, they were men helping build, but can you imagine what they went through too? Can you imagine walking down to a shop somewhere, maybe? Maybe he was going down and get a soda. I don't know if I had soda or not. Is that your old man, Noah? He's a crazy loon, ain't he? I mean, can you imagine what they went through? Think of that. But boy, I'll tell you one second, when the clouds open up, how rejoiceful this family was of this man of God, and how sad for those who rejected him. You might be going through a lot today, even in your own head. In your own head, you think, is it really worth it? Is it really true? I mean, come on. God created me. He loves me. He would never send me to hell. Or if I just compromise a little bit more. So we get the same battle in the heads, right? Amen? Doesn't Satan get there and try to tell you the same thing the world does? How far can we go and still get to heaven, right? How much of a sin can I carry in my life and still get to heaven? Amen? How much can I have? Gail, how much can I have? How much? Come on, tell me, how far can I go in my sin life and still get to heaven? See, I'm not judged by my sin, but hang on a second. I'm judged by my heart desire. Amen. If my desire is to be in the sin, how far can I sin and not go to hell? Then my heart doesn't belong to the Lord, does it? So is the Spirit of the living God be in here? No. No, 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 no. When He's in here, my heart desire, man, how can I quit sinning? Amen? That's the desire. How can I quit sinning? That moved my heart. And every time I sin, oh God, forgive me. My heart desire would be not to be in sin. Okay? Amen. Even though I'm going to sin. You follow me? Not, it doesn't give us permission to sin, but if we fall into sin, I mean, we're still covered by the blood. Our heart desire, oh man, I blew it again. Okay, God, give me more of you. More of Him, less of the world, I get more strength. I want to please Him. Amen? Because we already saw in Genesis, and we saw when the land of the ark, God was still making provisions for us, right? He already knew what's best for us. Man, even though sometimes we don't realize that, and we don't think it is. Now, we jump up to John, book of John, chapter 1. Dun, 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 dun. The awesome thing about this Word of God is that He never gives up on you. Understand that? He never, ever gives up on you. Think of that. Never. Never. You might want to give up on yourself. You say, I can't do this thing. But God says, you can. But do with me. You know, this thing called Christianity, following Jesus, we can do that with them. We try to overcome too many things in our life ourselves. But man, if we take it in prayer and supplication to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He'll strengthen us. He'll give us wisdom beyond our imagination. He'll show us things. You know, like Carol maybe had a word this morning. You know, He'll show us things. We just draw closer. He'll show us what's going on. God, why do I keep doing this? If you're asking Him, He'll show you. Because He wants to help you. Amen? He wants to help you. And John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. He was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the awesome thing is today, right now, we come to Him. He gives us a right to become His children. Amen? He puts us back on the ark with provisions, okay? He puts us back in the Garden of Eden with provisions that we need if we come to Him. So no matter where you've been in life, what you've done in life, no matter how terrible you've been, we come to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord. Boom. We become a child of God. Other than that, we are His creation. Some people say we're all God's children, but unfortunately we're not. We become His children when we were birthed by Him through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us. Now God loves His creation. Amen? He loved me when I wasn't His child. He cared for me. He cared for me. That man, he wanted me to come to know him. Okay? But think, let's go back again to the garden. Everything you need is right there. Now, God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't treat his first kids any different. He does kids 6,000 years later when we come to him. Now, we see in the garden what happens when we disobey God. God doesn't stop loving us. Amen? But look at the provision that took place. We went from having an Uber driver showing up every day with our food to walking 20 miles to McDonald's to get a burger, if I put it that way. You know what I'm saying? God still had a heart for us, but boy, it put a lot more strain on us. But he was willing to receive us back. But when we come to Christ, we become a child of God. Then, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And we'll go verse 25. Familiar, and we'll be at this verse. We'll finish plowing in here this morning. But again, a pathway for you for this year, for next year. Hopefully, the same pathway from last year. But in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 25, he says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on." Wow! This is Jesus is speaking. God is telling you, listen, I'm telling you up front, don't worry about it. Okay, now let's go back to the garden. Were they worried about anything when God created mankind? No. Now he had to say that then because all the stuff was right there. I mean, pomegranates and all them awesome things. Grapes. I mean, can you imagine that? Oh, man. Watermelon. I don't know what the muskmelon was like back then. Before all the hybrids kicked in and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my. But he said, don't worry about as to what you drink, eat. Let me start over again. For the reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And that should be an amen on that, okay? If our life is wrapped around our closet and our refrigerator, and that's it, we need to talk a little bit. We need to get beyond that. Now, I know the last half a year or so, your life has been around your refrigerator, in your closet, in your easy chair, because life is a little bit different there. But somewhere in there was still the Word of God, right? Amen, amen. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And think, yesterday, the birds out home was just chirping like crazy, okay? I went out and fed them. God used me to feed the birds. So, again, we need to have spiritual eyes to see how God reaches out to them. Well, God never does nothing for me. Okay, who came and mowed your grass? Well, who brought you dinner last week? Who sent you a card last week? You know, God works through us. You know what I'm saying? He does. And I just figured the birds would be out of it. Get out of here. Come on. Put that coffee cup down. Okay? But he took care of the birds. Are you not... And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So what he's saying here, this word is given to us to build our faith up and realize, again, let's go back to the garden. He created us. He gave us dominion over the animals. Amen? I mean, we put in charge of everything. We are made, you're made in the image of God. As a born-again Christian, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives in you. You have communications with God. Wow. He said, have confidence in me, God is saying. If I take care of these little birdies, and the scripture even say not one sparrow falls from the air without him knowing it, how much more is he going to provide for you? How much more does he want to? Because remember, he made us and put us in charge of things, right? So I would imagine if you had a farm, if Chuck Meyer and Marty hired me to work on their farm, okay, in the wintertime, and they wanted me to take care of their cattle and stuff, I'm pretty sure that they would come to me as a good boss and give me some coveralls to wear that's going to keep me warm. You know what I'm saying? And probably put some antifreeze in the gas tank to make sure the gas don't. Why? Because I'm very important to them. Because, yes, they like their animals out there, okay? But I'm more important what animals are. So if they're going to make sure the animals are fed and taken care of by using me, how much more are they going to take care of me? So how much more is God going to take care of you? If we just follow Him. He wants to remove anything in your life today that maybe you're fearful of, or maybe that you're compromising your life in order to get the provisions that you think you need, and you do it in a way that's against God's word. He wants to remove that, saying, "Listen, have no fear. Man, you come to me as my child. I'll find a way. Some people won't understand that. Again, you'll be back here shoveling poo, thinking the worst thing it is, and realize later on you're use that same stuff that you can't stand, and God's using it to sustain your life and the life of others." Again, Noah, if they didn't keep the animals on there, you and I might not be here today. If they weren't willing to shovel that manure and keep it piled up, the animals wouldn't have to lay around in it. And when they brought it out and made physical food for us again, we might not be here today. But somebody was willing to go through all that stuff, and here we are today, we are beneficial of that. So who's going to benefit from us? If the Lord would carry, and we continue following His word and continue to go through things, keep our eyes on Him. Even the things that God says for us to do, and we don't want to do them. And even the things God says don't do, and we don't do them, and you want to do them. It's not about just us. It's about those who come behind us. Our children's children will benefit from the discipline that we have and the love that we have for our God. And all He wants to do is provide for us. While we're here upon planet Earth. It continues in the verse here. It says, I even say to you, not even Solomon, I'm in verse 29, and all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of this field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there's a key right there in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God first. The old cliche used to be, what would Jesus do? Or what did Jesus do? However you want to put it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, God. And His righteousness. And the things that we need are provided to us. Now, there can be bonuses on down the road, but you need. So He's saying, listen, guys. And Starkey, you don't need to compromise anything to have your needs met. You don't need to stretch things. You don't need to lie. I don't need to steal. I don't need to covet. Okay? He promised my needs are going to be met as I seek Him. Sometimes it's the bonuses that we want ourselves, not our needs, but our wants, that can get us in trouble. I think it is. We want something bad enough that we're willing to compromise. And sometimes that compromise is our health. Sometimes that compromise is working 80 hours a week when you get by on 60 hours a week. Amen? I mean, but you put your body through that because I want a seven-bedroom house instead of a four-bedroom. You know? Why? Because I like clean houses. I know, okay? But God will meet our needs. If we all just turn to Him. And then 2022, man, just let everything that you do, let it line up the Word of God. Every time you're going to do something and you got to make a decision, hang out with God. Say, what do you think? What do you think I ought to do? Because he wants you to be successful. Amen? He wants you to be, I mean, you're his hands, his feet, his voice. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us in order to be a blessing to others. Okay? And if we demonstrate to him that we can handle things, he gives us more. You know, if we are obedient with a few things, he'll give us more things. And that could be anything. It could be finances, money. He wants more money. Nobody wants money. Jason, thank you. You want more money. All right. Woo, woo. You shouldn't be covenant money. Well, money is what turns the world, right? The more money we have, the more we can help other people. I mean, Pastor Peter wouldn't mind me having a little bit more money because he'd get more of it. Amen? But as we are obedient, as we are resourceful with what he's given us, he'll give us more of whatever it is for his glory. Amen? So let him remove anything in your life today that you've been compromising on. You haven't been standing firm on his word. That you think, oh man, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. It's between you and God, right? It's your relationship with him. I'm just here to speak his voice to you today and encourage you as the word of God encourages me. We sing a song, More of Him and Less of Me. I don't know how the rest of it goes, you know, but that'd be our cry this year. More, you know, that we spend more time with him, more time in his word. And don't look at all your deficiencies. Look at all the awesomeness you are. Amen? If you always think, oh man, I failed here. Look where you're at today. Look how far you've come. Now, we're not any of us where we want to be at yet. But man, look where and we're not giving up. Amen? And watch out for one another. Watch out for one another. Amen? Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If it's in here, obey it. If it's not in the Word of God, talk to God about it. Amen? Say, okay, is this a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? You know? But when he speaks, when the Word of God says to do something, I said, well, Jeff, this is what the Word of God says. Okay, Pastor, I'll pray about it. No. Don't pray about whether you're going to do it. Pray that you have the strength to do it. Amen. Some people say, oh, I'll pray about it. Well, just pray for the strength to do it. Amen. Not whether or not you want to do it or not. Just, yes. Amen. Any questions? No? Okay, awesome. Be encouraged. God is for us. Amen. Amen.